Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're sharing with you on the subject of deliverance. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. We pointed out that all believers are to cast out devils, and the word cast out is the Greek word ekbalo, which means to throw out, which means the spirits are in us, and we are to cast them out of us in order to be set free. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, we saw how Jesus went forth to preach the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. We pointed out that deliverance and set at liberty is the same Greek word, indicating that Jesus is going to bring healing and deliverance from all captivity and bruising as the spirits are cast out and the power of God goes in to heal and restore. In 1 John 3:8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And how did Jesus do it? He would cast out the spirits. In Mark chapter 1, verse 39, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. That shows that he went to the place where the covenant people were congregating, and he would preach the gospel and cast out devils. He does the same today as he comes into the churches through the Word of God, preaching the gospel and casts out devils. It's supposed to happen in every church in the world today. It should be a regular ministry in all churches. We talked about who our enemy is. 1 Peter 5:8, the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. What does he come to do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. And the enemy says, "I will pursue." Exodus 15:9. Run after with hostile intent. Well, we cannot be ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And we must understand what he's doing. We pointed out that Satan has a kingdom, as Jesus acknowledged it. It is a kingdom of darkness. We also pointed out that he's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and he's the prince of this world, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Satan was formerly Lucifer, an archangel who was in heaven. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, that was in the very presence of God, leading the praise and worship. But he rebelled against God. He was perfect in the ways that he was created until iniquity was found in him. And because his heart was lifted up and he corrupted his wisdom by reason of his brightness, he sinned against God, and he was cast out as profane out of the mount of God. His name has been changed from Lucifer to Satan, which means adversary. Now, there's only one of him. How does he work? He works through the evil angels who fell with him at the fall. We talked about Jude verse 6, where the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. In 2 Peter 2:4, it says, "If God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." The angels cannot come to the light. They are reserved in darkness, and they are going to be judged. Now, in Revelation 12:9, we see the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That shows that he has angels that serve him, that carry out his destructive work. And how does he work? He works in the heavenlies, and he works in the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ is to wage warfare in both realms. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places." Satan's highly organized, a network of evil spirits which you and I must come against, engaging in spiritual warfare through intercession with our understanding and with our spirit to cast down these spirits from the heavenlies. He also works in the earth through the fallen angels, called evil spirits or devils or demons, that try to get into a person in order to bring forth stealing, killing, and destruction in some aspect in their life. We've mentioned that these evil spirits are spiritual personalities. They have all the attributes of personality. We saw from Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45, that they have a will, they can walk, they seek after things, they speak, they have purpose, they have mobility, they have strength, and they have different levels of wickedness. They can tremble and be tormented. They know know things as they knew Jesus, they knew Paul. They have all the attributes of personality. The way they work against us are through their wiles. We put on the whole armor of God so we can stand against the wiles or tricks or strategies of the enemy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He works through deception. Unfortunately, many Christian people have not believed in the operation of the devil or the evil spirits and have not understood that spiritual warfare is essential to overcome and walk in victory in life. We must understand that life is spiritual. God is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. Angels are spirits. The evil spirits in the heavens and in the earth are spirits. Man is a spirit also. And God's word is spirit. It is spiritual law. Man is made of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. We have a soul made up of our will, intellect, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. And in John 6:63, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. It is spiritual law. And if our eyes are open to the spirit, we would see angels and devils everywhere. Now, once we understand that life is spiritual and that the devil works through these evil spirits that are trying to bring destruction against us, then we understand that our battle is a spiritual battle against spiritual enemies that are trying to come into us. And these spirits can get in us through the open door of sin. We saw in Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, that indicates that he was in the man before he came out. And then in verse 44, he says, I will return to my house from whence I come out. They consider the person their house, and they seek rest. They only find rest when they are in a person. Now, as we mentioned, they can only come in through the open door of sin. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Place is the word topos, which means a place of residence. What gives place of residence to the devil? When we walk in sin, which opens the spiritual door to allow them to come in. Remember, from Revelation 12:10, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren that accuses before God day and night of what? Of our sins, to give his spirits a legal right of entrance into us. And Ecclesiastes 10:8, it says, whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. How's the hedge broken? Through sin. What happens? A serpent, which is a type of an evil spirit, shall be able to bite you or have entrance to bring destruction. Of course, have we all sinned? Yes. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, what is the result of sin? The result of sin is a curse comes upon a person. In Genesis 4:7, speaking of Cain, God said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Of course, Cain proceeded to not do well, and he sinned in slaying his brother Abel. And because of his sin, he was cursed. As Genesis 4:11 says, now art thou cursed from the earth. What is a curse? It is the evil effect which is due to sin. Sin is the cause that allows this to happen. We must realize that there is a cause for every curse that occurs in a person's life. In Proverbs 26:2, the Bible says, so the curse causeless shall not come. That means there's a cause for all sickness and disease, poverty, mental problems, emotional problems, social problems, all kinds of destructive effects. In Deuteronomy 28:15, it says that it shall come to pass that if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. A curse comes from disobedience, which is sin. Remember, a curse is the opposite of a blessing, and it's the effect of sin. If we look at the curses from Deuteronomy 28:16 and following, it includes all kinds of sickness and disease, mental problems, emotional problems, family problems, lack of prosperity, national problems, every kind of problem you can think of is under the curse. Curses are spiritual, and they cannot be overcome by natural means. From God's perspective, a curse is divine judgment for sin in transgressing God's word, which is spiritual law. You got to understand, the word of God is the word of the covenant, which is the judge to determine whether blessings or curses come upon a person. In John 12:47, Jesus said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That indicates that the word of God is the judge to determine curses as well as blessings coming upon a person. Now, God is not the cause, but instead the person is the cause. God allows the curse to come because he's just and he's righteous, and his word is the truth. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We see that God has set before all mankind, you can either choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Of course, he tells us to choose life in the way of blessing. Man has a free will, and he can choose his destiny. When you choose to obey God's word, then you're going to see his blessings come on you and overtake you, as it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. But if man chooses to disobey God's word, which is sin, then curses will come on you and overtake you as well, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. So when one makes a wrong choice to sin, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, accuses us before God of our sin, which gives the devil spiritual legal right, according to spiritual law, which governs all things, to be able to bring a curse upon him by sending the evil spirits into a person. The power of a curse is demonic. It is enforced by evil spirits. So there's a cause to a curse, which is sin. There's also the enforcement of that curse, which is carried out by the evil spirits, which are Satan's evil angels, who have entrance to bring destruction into a person because of the open door of sin. So a curse is judgment because of violation of the word of God, allowing evil spirits to come into a person. Now in Deuteronomy 28:45 it says, Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. That shows you that curses will come on you, pursue you, overtake you, and what's the effect? They will bring destruction. Now there are three general ways that evil spirits can come into a person. Number one, inheritance, and that's the number one negative influence in a person's life. In Lamentations 5:7, the Bible says, Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. When it says that they are not, that means they've passed on. But nonetheless, you and I have borne the iniquities of our fathers. Sin produces iniquity, which is of the heart. When you study out iniquity, you find it is a wickedness in the heart. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 18, the Bible says, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Inherited generational iniquity curses come down the inheritance line from three and four generations back, bringing these inherited curses upon us. The cause is the sins of the fathers producing iniquity in their heart, which causes these curses to manifest in the three to four generations. That means you and I are affected by the sins and the iniquities of our forefathers in our parents' line, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and even great-great-grandparents. And these curses are enforced by evil spirits that come in at the time of conception. They're there from day one. That's why you see inherited generational curses manifest in people's lives. We see cancer coming down the line, generation after generation, diabetes coming down the line, high blood pressure, mental illness problems coming down the line, addictive-compulsive, anger problems, poverty problems, any area of life. These inherited generational iniquity curses are very important to understand because you and I are affected by the sins and iniquities of our forefathers. We're going to continue on this in the next broadcast. As I close today, I want to make my book available to you, Deliverance for All Christians, $10, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.